I was looking yesterday at the book of Luke, chapter 5, and I like Luke. Luke was the first, when we started a Bible study, Luke was the first book that we looked at because I love, first of all, you just got to love the Gospels, but I love the fact that Luke does, he's the only one that kind of sets it forth as he begins his Gospel. In that very first chapter, in those very opening lines, he establishes that he's putting forth a, I forget the exact verbiage, but what he's saying is he's putting together a chronological view. He's laying out the events as they occurred. And with that in mind, I love looking at chapter 5 because you see two different stories pretty much back-to-back in chapter 5 about Jesus healing two different individuals and how those healings took place. And since I know that Luke is laying these things out in a chronological pattern, a chronological focus on what he's doing, you love the fact that you can see two different truths from both of these healings, which are important for us to remember, important for us to look at, important for us to always have in our minds. Now, we looked at the one yesterday, and it was a story of the leper who was cleansed in chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, the one thing I want you to see and focus on or remember from yesterday as we talked about that was that it says that the leper, as he came to Jesus, he had no doubts. He didn't question the fact that Jesus could heal, but he wanted to know if Jesus was willing to heal. And he said to him, "If you are willing, you are able to cure me and make me whole, to cure me and make me clean." So the question was, are you willing? I know you're able, Jesus, but are you willing to do it? And then Jesus gave that answer that is an answer that we can hold on to when we in our own minds think, Jesus, are you willing to heal me? And we think to ourselves, I have to somehow make myself worthy of this. I've not done enough work. I haven't done enough things. I'm not worthy of receiving this. Jesus would not be willing to do this. And we ask ourselves, when we're believing for healing in our lives or anything in our lives, Jesus, are you willing? Well, the question was answered by Jesus to this leper, and the same answer is the answer that's given to you. And Jesus responded and said, reached out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleaned." And immediately the leprosy left him. So we saw that one part of the question, that one part of the equation answered. As we face physical things in our bodies, as we face concerns, and maybe you're facing something today that you've been battling for a long time, then you've prayed and just haven't seen it come to pass. Or maybe maybe the doctors told you something new. You know, maybe there's new symptoms that have risen up and you're kind of confused and a little worried about it and you haven't talked to anybody about it yet. When those physical things come up, the question that we always ask ourselves is Jesus willing to heal us? Is he willing? He answered and said, yes, he is willing. So as that story is done, in Luke, it goes right to the next story. And again, remember that Luke is telling these stories in a chronological fashion. So we just learned about the leper, and we just learned that vital piece of information regarding Jesus Christ in healing. He is willing. He's willing to heal you. Doesn't matter what your status is. Doesn't matter how much you failed. Doesn't matter. He is willing to heal you. In fact, we know that he's already provided for that. But you need to remove that question from your mind. When you ask yourself, is Jesus willing to heal me? Well, the answer was a resounding and definitive yes. Now, we move on to the next story, and we get another good insight, another key into helping us receive and helping us to walk into that healing that Jesus has for us. So this is the story of the paralytic, a very familiar story. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So here's Jesus. The multitudes are gathered, but there's also those Pharisees that are standing by watching, those who are keepers of the law. Now, it's kind of important for us to remember that it focuses on that they were teachers of the law. So the law is the standard that man is holding. It's the standard of the old covenant. And even though the new covenant is here in Jesus, here's these Pharisees and these teachers of the law, and they focus on the law. And the law was put in place, we know, Romans talks to us about this, the law was put in place so that man would come to a place of understanding that it was impossible in his own abilities to ever be able to fully live by the law. Impossible to do it. It requires a Savior. It was to bring man to a place of hopelessness in himself that he would have hope and put his hope and put his trust in the Savior, in Jesus Christ. So here are these Pharisees and these teachers of the law who are there, and they're focused on the law. Now, in verse number 18, it says, "Then behold, men brought on bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. So the power of healing is working. That means there's people that are standing by and have faith. Because it's not a question of whether or not Jesus can heal or whether the power to heal is there. The power is always there to heal. The power is always present to heal. But if that power is moving, that means there's people that are there that are being healed. There's people that are there that are operating in faith. They're believing. So now we have these men that brought their friend on a bed who was paralyzed, and they wanted to bring him and lay him before Jesus so that Jesus would heal him of that paralysis. And when they could not find how to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and they let him down on his bed, with his bed, through the tiling, into the midst before Jesus. So they go up on the roof of the house, they remove the tiles of the house, and then they stand there and they lower this man on his bed before Jesus. So Jesus is inside, he's teaching to all the multitudes, and then all of a sudden there's a hole up in the roof and a man's coming down on a bed. Okay, now this is great faith. This is people that will go to great efforts, great lengths to see healing. These are people, you know, we talked last week about pursuing after Jesus. These are men that are pursuing after Jesus. And even though the crowds were so great that they could not get to Jesus, that would not stop them. They would not be hindered. This is the same thing that we see with that story of the woman who had the issue of blood. You know, she was unclean, so she should not have been in that town. She was, according to the law, anyone that she touched, she was making unclean. She was forcing her way through the multitudes to get to Jesus. She's putting her life in jeopardy by doing this because she's breaking the law. But she was so pursuing Jesus Christ that she would not be stopped. Well, here's these men that care enough for their friend or for this man, whatever the relationship was, that they will not be stopped in their pursuit of bringing this man to Jesus Christ. And I want to point out something else here. Because there's a lot of times, and their faith is of great consequence for this man. But I want you to also know that this man who was paralyzed, he had to have faith too. He had to operate in faith as well. He had to believe this as well. And I guarantee you that his faith was stirred by the faith of his friends. You know, there's several places in Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 3. We see time and again, we see examples of the importance of somebody that has faith, somebody that is walking and operating in faith. When they look at someone else, there is something that transpires between that looking, that having the eyes upon someone else. We see that in Acts chapter 3, as the disciples are on the way to the temple, and there's the man at the gate called Beautiful, and he can't walk, and he's asking for alms. And when you read those verses in Acts chapter 3, it's amazing when you read it. Look at how many times, in just a couple of verses, how many times the references are to he looked, he saw, his stare, his gaze. They looked at each other. There is a transference of faith that is taking place between the disciple and between that paralyzed man. That man is just asking for alms. And Peter says, I've got something greater. Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And when he was looking at that man's eyes, there was a transference of faith. That man saw the faith that Peter had, and it stirred him to believe for something more than he was asking for. He wasn't asking Peter to heal him. He was asking for money. But he looked in Peter's eyes, and he saw the faith in Peter's eyes, and he believed for something more than he had been believing for before. He believed, and he received something greater than what he was asking for originally. Because he was moved and stirred by the faith that he saw in the eyes of Peter. And he saw that faith and it stirred him. It stirred the faith inside of him. We can encourage and strengthen and stir the faith of others. If we operate in faith, people will see that faith in our eyes. So this friend who was being lowered by his friends, don't misunderstand me. It all begins with faith. For Jesus said in Hebrews, it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to see the things of God accomplished in our lives except for there be faith in operation within men, mankind. Individuals have to operate in faith for that power of God to work. We have a part to play. There's a role that we have. Faith without action, faith without works is dead. There has to be faith and faith that we act upon. So here's these friends. They had faith. I'm assuming that the man who was paralyzed had his own faith. But I'll tell you what, if he didn't have his own faith, that faith was definitely stirred by the faith of his friends. When he saw his friends, yeah, we're not going to quit. We know that you're going to be healed if we can get you to Jesus, and nothing will keep us from getting you to Jesus. And that had to stir his faith just as it stirred the faith of that paralyzed man at the gate called Beautiful when Peter came. So a lot of times we look at that and we say to ourselves, well, it was the faith of the friends. That man's faith had to be involved as well. And I guarantee you his friend's faith stirred his faith, if his faith was at all ever wavering. So in verse number 19, it goes on to say, when they could not find how they might bring him in, they went to the roof, they removed the tiles, and they lowered into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, "Well, who is this that he speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed in his own house, glorifying God. There's several things here which we're not going to have time to get to all of them, but here's the main point I want you to see. We looked yesterday and we saw from that first story of the leper, we saw that the question that we always have is, "Jesus, are you willing?" And we know because he actually fulfilled that. We know because he actually did the work. We know that he actually made the sacrifice. He bore stripes upon his body so that we would be healed. So he actually did the work. He's willing. He did it. So we never need to ask the question, "Jesus, are you willing to do this?" Not only is he willing, he did it. So alleviate that question. But here's the second foundational thing that sometimes hinders us when we're trying to receive and trying to believe for his healing that he's already provided for us. We have to have faith. We have to believe because he works through faith. But listen to this verbiage that Jesus says. Verse number 24. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." I'm going to look at this in the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible it says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power, authority, and right on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, arise, pick up your stretcher, and go to your own house." So here's the second question we ask ourselves. The first thing is, "Jesus, are you willing?" The second thing is, do we believe that he has the power and the authority? Jesus answered that question as well. He has the power and the authority and the right on earth to do this. Now we saw that the two, and this is the final point I make, but he saw that the those Pharisees and those who were of the law who were sitting there, they were focused on the law, and he knew it, that in their hearts that they were questioning him, and they were saying, "Well, who is this man that blasphemes and says he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins." And then Jesus says that phrase that sometimes confuses us, and when he says, "Well, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk?" See, both these things are impossible to flesh. Both of these things are impossible for man to do. It's impossible for man to forgive sins. It's impossible. And it's also impossible for a man to cause another man to be healed. These things are impossible in the natural. And Jesus is saying, if I have the authority and if I have the power to do the one, then I have the power to do the other as well. So you're questioning whether or not I have the power to forgive sins. Well, let me show you the answer to that. Because it's impossible to do either one. So if I can do the one, I can do the other. And you will see that if I can do the one, I can do the other. And you also need to understand, let me go back real quick to Psalm 103. Throughout the Word of God, there is a direct tie between sins and healing. Those things are tied together. In Psalm 103, verse number 3, it says, talking about the Lord, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." There's a tie together between these two things, and those who are there would certainly have known that and understood that. And those keepers of the law would have understood that. And they would have understood that when Jesus said, "If I can do the one, I can do the other," because they're both impossible, and these things are tied together. So to show you that I have the authority and the power to forgive sins, I'm going to do the other impossible thing, which is to heal this man. Watch. And he said to the man, "Rise up and be healed. Thus he established that he had the power and the authority and the right to do so. Now, we know whatever it is that you're afflicted with, whatever it is, if you've got a cold today and you want to be free of that, or if you have some disease, if you've got a heart disease that they're telling you have a limited amount of time, if somebody just diagnosed you with cancer, whatever it is, big or small, whatever that sickness or that disease is, we've learned two things that are important truths. One, Jesus is willing to heal you. So alleviate that question from your mind. If you think to yourself, I'm not worthy, I haven't done enough, it's not a question of your worthiness or if you're doing enough. You can never do enough. It's what he's willing to do. And we also know that because he bore those stripes on his body, not only is he willing, but he did it. It's done. He's willing and he's already done it. He's established it for you. But then the other question that we have is, do we really believe that Jesus has the power and the authority and the right to heal you? And again, we see that question answered by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 5. He has the power, and he's already done that. The work's already been done. He has the authority. If you're thinking that maybe, just maybe, for some reason, in this natural world, when we stop and we say, well, you know, healing was from a past day. Healing was for the times of Jesus. Well, healing was just for a season, but it's not for now. No, he has the authority today, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the authority, and he has the right here on this earth. And when people say, well, healing can just be healing that is in heaven, and that's true. We are healed in heaven. But he also has the power and the right and the authority here on earth. And he's done the work. He has the authority. He's willing. He's done the work, he has the power, and he has the right. All this is done for you. All you and I have to do is believe it. If we believe it, then that same faith, he moves through faith. The power says that the power was present to heal them. The power is always present. It was always present in Jesus Christ. But it means that there were those who were there who had faith, and in the operation of that faith, that power was released unto them, and they were being healed. And I'm pretty sure that's probably what stirred those men to bring their friend upon that bed, climb up to the roof, because their faith was stirred, because they saw faith in operation. They saw healings taking place. They wanted that for their friend. The friend had that faith as well, and he received. Whatever your sickness, whatever your healing, whatever it is you need healing of today, he's willing, he's already done the work, and he has the right and the authority and the power and the right on this earth, in this life, not just the next, in this life, he has the right to heal you. Now it's up to us to believe.